Sidebar with Cindy.
On Kaya FM 95.9.
Two minutes past seven, Kaya FM 95.9, home of the Afropolitan. Welcome to Sidebar with Cindy. With me, I'm Cindy Siwe van Sail on this Tuesday, the 30th of July. It's been such a long month. I cannot wait for July to end. This evening, we're speaking about the impact of unemployment on love, intimacy, and commitment.
Medical issues, sex and family,
finance, parenting, and emotional development.
Sidebar with Cindy. Every Monday to Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
Kaya FM 95.9, home of the Afropolitan. Welcome to Sidebar with Cindy. With me, Cindy Siwe van Sail. And tonight's show is a difficult one. We've already had so much response on social media. I'm using the hashtags Sidebar with Cindy and Kaya FM Talk. But basically, we're speaking about the impact that unemployment has on love, intimacy, and commitment. Basically, if someone loses their job, what happens to the relationship? If you're not in Gauteng, you can listen to Kaya FM on DSTV's audio bouquet on channel 861. You can also listen live at kayafm.co.za. So I'm joined in studio by Faith Mnyameni, and she's a private social worker from Imani Psychosocial Solutions, which is based in Midrand. And I'll also be joined by Ukatleho on the line, whose relationship ended due to unemployment. And of course, I'll be going through all your tweets and your messages and just talking about what is a very real topic, considering the stats that we heard, that South Africa's official unemployment rate has jumped to 29% in the second quarter of the year. This is the highest jobless rate we've had since the start of 2008. And this obviously has an impact on relationships. So before I take your calls on 086-000-959, I'd like to welcome Ufaith to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cindy, and thank you to your listeners.
Great stuff. So, yeah, you've heard the topic, Faith. You know, the loss of one's job during a relationship or a marriage really puts strain on the phrase "for better or for worse."
Definitely, definitely.
And, you know, in your experience as a private social worker, I'm sure people come to you, couples come to you with such situations. What have you seen in your line of work regarding this?
No doubt, unemployment causes, you know, significant, you know, changes, and it does affect definitely in relationships. In my experience, mostly I work with mostly the employed, so I'm mostly in the employee wellness program, and I also work with their dependents, and to a large extent, we are seeing the rise of dependents from employees who come for counseling mainly due to unemployment. So it does tell you that the effects of unemployment are actually dire, especially to relationships. So I've seen that a lot. I've seen, you know, couples, you know, one party threatening to divorce. We've seen even, you know, one party saying, well, the father doesn't support, doesn't maintain. We've seen also, you know, where it's a relationship between premarital, so couples that have not yet gotten married. So that premarital counseling, the question of, you know, finances being an issue. You know, you have couples who say, look, I can't stay with a man that is unemployed. I can't be with a man that does not provide according to my needs. So it is, in fact, a dire situation. It is affecting relationships significantly to a point where people, even in premarital counseling, can decide to not proceed with the wedding. So it's that significant. It is important. And the rise as well in counseling sessions in terms of people who are, you know, unemployed, like I said, the dependence of employees. You are seeing also the strain on those who are employed, that they are actually, you know, also being affected as well. I also have a lot of clients who come from traumatic situations where someone has been hijacked, someone has been traumatized, often because, you know, the criminals would most likely be unemployed. Mm-hmm. And they are also members of our society. They are members of our community. They are fathers. They are, you know, husbands. They are uncles and wives also. I don't want to exclude and be sexist, mm-hmm. because there are women equally who commit crime. So these are partners in relationships, essentially, and you do see the impact that, you know, there's now the effect of on crime, relationships being broken, and obviously this destabilizes the family environment. I can imagine children as well growing in such instability. There are effects there as well.
Well, if you just joined us, you're listening to Sidebar with Cindy with me, Cindy van Sail, and that is the voice of Faith Mnyaneni, who's Nyamini, who's a private social worker in Midrand, and we're talking about unemployment and the effect that it has on relationships. So if your relationship is broken up due to one of you becoming unemployed, please call us on 086-00-00959. We'd love to hear your story. I have an anonymous message, and the message says, for me, it has been quite the challenge and made me realize that money is not all a man can, all a man must offer in a relationship. Understanding this has conflicted with me, as I had prided myself with being independent and being able to afford and contribute to relationship expenses, going out, and also unforeseen expenses. The idea of this control being lost tore away self-identity at one stage. It also made me appreciate intervening into my other abilities, such as being present with throwing money to make things better. And so this person's relationship really suffered. Intimacy took a big knock, and that's also added to the stress of their relationship. And it's something that we don't really speak about, how financial stress, you know, tears the couple apart, but you also stop being intimate, you know, because there's resentment, there's anger, there's a lot of things happening, and couples eventually stop having sex.
True.
And sex is like the glue that keeps a relationship together, you know, for most people. Well, we're joined online by another guest, Ukatlego, and he'd like to share his story with us. Good evening, Ukatlego, and thank you so much for agreeing to be on Sidebar, Cindy.
Thank you very much, Dr. Cindy. Hi, guys. How are you? The story goes, with the lady of she broke up with me about 3 weeks back. We had been friends for a good 5 years prior, and last year, August, we decided to give it a go. And when we started the relationship, I wasn't working, and she's a musician part-time. She's a musician, mm-hmm. So gigs are there at times, and sometimes they're not there. So I do most of the hustling at times. And things were going quite well because the hassles would come in then and then while you're waiting and submitting CVs. And the hassles early this year came to an end. And that's when I started seeing flame conversations now being taking long to be responded to.
Mm.
And now you're no longer being, they don't take your calls anymore. Your WhatsApps are not responded anymore. And until 3 weeks back, she decided to write a text and say, KG, you know, this is not it for me.
Hmm.
And this is just 2 weeks prior to I had applied to write a software testing exam so that at least I can then change my life, because applying with a national diploma in IT wasn't doing well. So then I was trying to pick up. Prior to that, I had started going for counseling because depression had also taken a toll on me.
I can imagine.
And on top of the depression, and she was, the day before she broke up with me, I was actually thanking her for encouraging me to go for counseling.
Mm.
So it was a good night convo. In the morning, I'd say, I'm getting into the library, I'm studying for this exam. Then boom, there comes a big text which says, hey, I can't do this anymore.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so it has been a hectic 3 weeks since that WhatsApp text. It has been a very bad one, I must say. So unemployment, unfortunately, in our country is taking a toll on a lot of us, that I must say. And unfortunately, some of our brothers can't take it easy. They end up committing suicide.
Mm.
I have a supportive family, by the way. Mm. Who have been encouraging to me to go for counseling a lot of times.
Mm.
But the problem also is with family, you get to a point where you feel like, seeing Mahupile enough, I've asked from everyone, I can't do this anymore. As a guy, you feel like, let me just die in peace. But they keep saying, hold on, it will get better.
Mm.
It will get better.
And you know, the thing is, Katlego, with the asking, there's a lot of shame that comes with asking for help.
Mm.
And I think that's what most people struggle with, that you ask once, you ask for money for this, now you're asking for money for this. And I want to say to people that when you're going through something like this, you know who your people are, you know who you can lean on, and those people generally don't mind helping you. And when they do mind, if they're close enough, they'll tell you, okay, you know what, this month in Shaigile, or I really can't help you anymore. So how did you choose... How did you know who you could approach when things got really bad?
I what helped me is I'm closer to two of my sisters.
Mm.
This has been since the high school days. So we've been borrowing money from each other even when things were still going well in my life.
Mm.
So it is easy to go back to them and say, "I, you know what, ngiyakhawuthega, ngicela imali." So there's those two, and then there's close friends of mine. There's just few, two friends. So actually there's about four people that in my life I can easily go and say, "I need money."
Yeah.
There are those. And at times you feel I've over-exceeded my limit. I can't. It is just them who decide, okay, just far as well, because we see it's not happening yet.
Mm. Well, well, going back to Twitter, we have a message from Jabu MC, and he says that she has been carrying me for 3 years now. I've tried everything, still applying for jobs, and I do small jobs. The sad part is she never complains but always supports me. Even if I get a job for painting a house, she comes with me to help. We hustle together. I love her. And that's Jabu MC telling, sharing his story. And then Ivan says that this has never been an issue. I think I got a real one. When things were bad, she made sure everything was good. So I pretty much do anything for that woman. Yes, it costs a lot and I complain endlessly, but it feels good seeing her happy. So Ivan and Ujabu have, you know, have partners that were very supportive during this difficult time. But the saddest message was from Usihamedzi, and you know, she said his insecurities increased because he had more time on his hands without a job. He managed my phone movements and the people I talked to. At the end, he committed suicide. And this, you know, this speaks to what you were saying, Katlehudi. Some guys can't handle it, and they end up, you know, committing suicide.
Let me be honest with you. There were times, Dr. Cindy, I would think of suicide more than 10 times in one day.
Mm.
It really got to that point where I would go stand on the highway and start thinking, why just not stand in front of a camion truck and end this life, because it seems like there's nothing happening. The pain of seeing people wake up in the morning going to work,
mm.
and you are not waking up to go anywhere at all. The emails you receive from the applications you've made are rejection, all of them. You can't even afford a simple thing as data just to apply for jobs. So, unfortunately, as guys, we then resort to, hey, let me just remove myself from this equation, then life would be easy for everyone, until someone sits you down and says, this is not the solution.
Mm.
The thoughts still drop in then and then, but they're not as big as back then. Now I have tried managing them a bit better.
Yeah, faith.
But yeah, it gets there. It's hectic.
Yeah. Sure, Katlego, thank you very much for sharing your narrative, and I really commend you for obviously coming to the fourth and sharing your personal story. And the fact that you emphasize also the psychological effect, which is very true, is because if you think about how the whole idea of having a job is actually wired from us at a very young age. From a very young age, you are asked, what do you want to do when you grow up? You know, so we are socialized. So it's a social construct. We are socialized into being. We are socialized into working individuals, and that already sort of puts so much pressure into a child, even from the age, you know, school going age, if as it were. So I understand when you're giving this example that it's like a luxury to see people who actually are working. It has moved beyond to just being a necessity, but we now realize how much of a luxury it is to actually look at people waking up and going to work, mainly because of how, you know, having a job has been, you know, socially constructed from a very young age. What I see also from, you know, a couple of examples from yourself, Katlego, Jabu, and some of the, you know, listeners who've been tweeting, is the fact that the important role of support. For instance, you took it upon yourself to go for counseling, which is great, and I do commend you for that. As much as, yes, it's not a long-term plan, and I also understand the frustration, like I've mentioned to Dr. Cindy earlier, that you'd have clients who initially come for counseling, you know, because of unemployment, and the moment, you know, sometimes they get a job, someone pop an SMS and says, Faith, look, I'm great, I don't need counseling sessions anymore, you know. It just goes to show you to what extent having a job,
yeah,
exactly, It's liberating, but mainly because of the psychological effect, especially because it's been wired from a very young age. And perhaps we need to also start there. Maybe we need to start at the ECD level, at the early childhood development level, where you also maybe look at other ways of having a source of income and you know, teaching our children entrepreneurship, for instance, at a very young age, as an example. Because if you look at most of the things that we, you know, sort of raise out or what we condition our children to be growing up, it's mostly to be employed. Look at varsities, look at colleges, the kind of qualifications that we get sort of put us under immense pressure for us to be employed. It's like you're waiting for somebody to give your CV. You're waiting for somebody to see you qualify or graduate. But there's less emphasis perhaps on you being your greatest asset. You know, you being an asset to or even provide the service, provide the skill that you actually have and sell that at the same time. But I also equally acknowledge, obviously, the psychological impact. I think we need to sort of go back into how we raise our young children so that we don't put so much pressure even as they grow up. Because you see it even with siblings, with relationships. If now feel like okay, and you don't have money, you know, sometimes even the treatment from the mother is not the same.
Parents, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, mama would be talking more to
Los Ebenzai. Providing, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So going back to Twitter and looking at the tweets on the hashtag sidebar Cindy, Red Rosie says, once stood by an unemployed ex, helped find financially too. When he got his breakthrough, he immediately left. You know, and that happens. That happens. You know, in a lot of instances. It's a tough one.
Yes. Yes, true. And I mean, if you look at that example exactly, it also can create anxiety for ladies who've been through that. Even guys, equally. You have men who say, look, I took my wife to school and then she qualified, got a job, and then umuntu wangishintshela. You know, so the anxiety as well to say sometimes you take someone and you give them an opportunity, and when they get on their feet, they also change. And I think it's also, again, goes back to the dynamics of, because it's such a privilege to be employed, sometimes when we are unemployed, it puts us in a position where obviously unemployment means no income, and no income means poverty. Forever. So because of the value of employment means income, income means stability. So the moment I have a guy who can take me from this poverty, I take the opportunity. But would it be love? I think only time tells. And I think that is an example of what you've just shared, Dr. Cindy.
Okay, so if you've just joined us, you're listening to Sidebar Cindy with me, Cindy Fancel. And this evening, we're speaking about the impact that unemployment has on relationships and intimacy. And I'm chatting to Faith Nyameni, private social worker from Imani Psychosocial Solutions, which is based in Midrand. And I'm also chatting to Ukatleho. We'll be letting him go just now, but before he goes, I'd like to ask him a few questions about unemployment and the impact it has on a relationship. Katleho, before we let you go, I just wanted to find out from you. Your self-esteem must have suffered greatly, you know, during the unemployment and obviously after the breakup. What is the overwhelming feeling, the one thing that you felt on a daily basis during this time?
Dr. Cindy, one thing that has happened over this time is I actually got to start being in touch with my emotions.
Mm.
You know how angazi ukuthi in Zulu, what do they say? Kusbedi bari munna gingulela ting. It has been something I lived with until the breakup and the depression. That's when I actually knew I could cry.
Mm.
I've got sleepless night at times, and sometimes I'd be in public and just tears start rolling. And yeah, I remember the day the text came in of the breakup. I was in the library. I read the text, simply stood up, and tears rolled my eyes. I took my bag, and that was the end of the day for me. So psychologically, it really works against you big time. It's a bit hard, Dr. Cindy.
And, you know, do you have any advice for anyone that might be going through, you know, what you're going through at the moment? What would you advise them to do?
Oh, advice. Focus on self.
Mm.
Yeah, learn to discover. After the breakup, a friend of mine sent me a book, Things I Wish I Had Known Before, Things I Wish I Knew Before I Got Married, which I had never read before, and it actually brought a lot of illumination. And I got to start focusing back more on myself and actually I'm rediscovering who I am in all this. Because besides that, then it was going to be the negative side, which goes back to me thinking of suicide.
So,
I'm trying to keep positive always. Always.
Well, thank you so much, Katlego, and we really wish you all your best in your journey. And thank you so much for coming and coming onto the show and sharing, you know, what you've shared with us from your heart.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sinto, for the opportunity.
Okay, take care and God bless.
All right, same to you. Bye.
So this evening on Sidebar with Cindy, we're talking about unemployment and the impact it has on relationships. The country's unemployment rate was 27.6% in the first quarter of 2019. It's gone up to 29%. And, you know, as you can imagine, unemployment is wreaking havoc in more than one sector, including relationships. I'm chatting to Faith Mnyameni, a private social worker from Midrand, and we're taking your calls on 086-000-959 about this. We have Kawe Gazi calling us from Johannesburg. Good evening, Kawe, and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Dr. Cindy. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Kawe, I know that you indicated earlier on that you wanted to share your story with us. What happened between you and your husband?
Okay, so my husband lost his job in June of last year, and I had just had a new baby. My baby was 4 months old, and it was difficult. And it was not just difficult between, like, life at home. The difficulty between the two of us, what I've since learned from that is that men cannot handle not being the providers in the home. And it was emotionally draining for my husband, firstly, because he couldn't handle the fact that he did not have an income to contribute into the household. Mm-hmm. And it was stressful for me as well, because now things had changed. We had to survive on one salary, even though our responsibilities and our lifestyle was used to having two salaries. And even the lifestyle that I refer to is not even a lifestyle of a lot of luxuries. Mm. It was just a basic lifestyle which was dependent on these two salaries. And now to move from two to one, it made things very, very difficult. And it was a big emotional strain on our relationship, and we weren't communicating very well. We were fighting a lot. And sometimes the fights were not even about financial issues. It was about just other things. But it would come up that I don't know how to explain it, but everything would lead back to the financial situation, as if now it's affecting everything, or it's the be all and end all of everything.
The relationship. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, like, our fights, Jay, they were quite bad during that time. And now this was going on for about 8 months or so that he didn't have a job. And 6 months into the unemployment, we could not pay for the car anymore, and we lost the car. It was so bad. Like, it was so bad. For me, it was sad that, okay, we don't have a car, but I was already sort of getting used to using public transport.
Yeah.
But I had never seen my husband cry.
Oh, Kawe.
I think for me, even that was basically, I had felt the financial strain of the whole thing, but at that moment, it became very real for me. That, yeah, we were struggling. And then after that, he had to move away. Now, the only job he could find was in a different province. So as much as things are better now, it is continuing to cause strain. Like, the fact that he had lost his job and was unemployed for so long, it's continuing to cause strain because he had to take a job in a different province. Anyway, that's my story.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that, Kawe. I'll ask Faith to respond. We'll let you go, but thank you so much for sharing that with us.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Kawe Gazi. And I think what Kawe Gazi's narrative is actually indicative of the broader society in terms of how we condition the boy child. It starts at a very young age. We grow in a society where young boys are taught to the male child, the boy child in particular, from a very young age, sort of knows that he must take care of the family. I see this a lot, even from a situation of bereavement where a client is a male and he comes for counseling and he says, look, Faith, I had to stop going to school. I had to go fend for the family because I'm the firstborn, or I'm the son, or I'm the only boy in the family. And Kawega's story is one such typical story that we have, especially in an African context, and probably even globally, because the issue of unemployment is actually a global phenomenon. And the whole association of income, how we associate income with the role of the man in society is actually quite important, because she's mentioned how, as an example, her husband cried for the first time, and even that in our society is still something that is sort of looked at as taboo. How can a man cry in a situation like this? Then it means sekunzima ngempela. So we need to, like I'm saying, from a very young age, early childhood development age, let's encourage our boy children to cry. Let's encourage our boy children to equally decide on what they want to do without being pressured on they have to take care of the family. And also look at multiple ways of getting an income, because the whole existential meaning of employment is really to have a form of income, or a source of income rather. Let's look at other ways that we can start conditioning our children at a very young age to start looking at opportunities. And I think that's what is important, creating opportunities for children of getting an income, as opposed to channeling them towards institutions that will sort of prepare them to be employed or employable. Let's also teach them to be self-employed one in one aspect or another, or even find ways that they can fend for themselves in a way that they can take care of their families and themselves. But thank you very much, Kawegazi. Your narrative is quite distinct, and it is obviously symbolic of a greater part of our society where men are under pressure. That's very true. And men often don't talk. Dr. Cindy, I find this a lot in my therapy sessions, where men are likely to suffer from depression. If you look at the rate of suicide, is actually high amongst men than it is, in women. And it goes to show to what extent actually men tend to internalize and bottle things up, because he has to be strong and he has to be okay with the situation. So we have normalized a lot of things that have actually, or in fact, the effect we see currently in our society, the crime, and a whole lot of other issues as well.
Okay, yeah. Well, we're still taking calls on Sidebar Cindy on 086-000-959. I'm chatting to Faith Nyameni, a private social worker from Imani Psychosocial Solutions in Midrand. We have Uvusi on the line, and Vusi is calling us from Joburg. Good evening, Vusi, and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Dr. Cindy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Very well. Yes, I wanted to call you sometime last week regarding this, the impact of divorce and children. Yeah, and it's unfortunate. I mean, one of your callers last week was my child, and I think you know her very well, KK. I won't explain who's that, but you know who's that. Yes, KK. Yes. Yeah, I think you know her very well. Yeah, just to let you know, Dr. Cindy, really the impact of being unemployed really is huge on men, and with her mom and me, it was through the same thing. I was unemployed for almost four years. Just before the divorce, before she could initiate the divorce. Right. In the whole process, you become nothing. You can't even get told that you can't even provide, you can't even bring food in the house. You know? And even above that, they will try to talk to her and all those things, raises their voices, and the kids starting to hear the whole thing, then they don't know where does the whole thing started from. And then I keep thinking that, okay, there's always a fight in this house. Hold. You know, and often above that, what would happen? She goes to a point whereby she would tell the kids, she can't, in front of the kids, and say, what is that you can do? You can't even buy food in this house. Why did you cook? And it's going to a point whereby, in my case, was West of the Cindy, she will, even their mom would go and cook by her aunt's place, and would come back in the household after 10, 9, midnight. I don't have food in the house. Right? And then they'll come in and start watching TV. They'll give me a hello there. I say hello. They all walked into their bedrooms in their sleep. Right? And now the very same person that only time that you realize that you're useless when you are unemployed. But all these years, no, we're a good person, right? And then the way things were, I mean, I've never had that. I mean, I was not able even to buy meat in this household until I got unemployed, you know. But all along, I was providing in this household, and up to a point whereby she was able even to save money. And she woke up one day, she found that in her account, she had over 100,000 rand. She said, because you're providing all these, buying things in this household, I don't know, because my money was been there, all my salaries, I didn't ever use it. What must I do? I said, maybe the person is to buy a car. Often probably, I said, okay, let's go. We went there and then we saw the car that she liked. I said, you buy it. The car was over 200,000, 250,000. I said, okay, you put that
100,000.
Yes, I will pay the rest. I did the rest. Right? Then now she turns her back and says, you know what, I don't know what happened to your money. Because you're unemployed now, where's your money? On that same breath, I've been building a house in one of the estates, which I won't mention by name. Okay. Right? A huge house. But when she even could be put on that, she could be asking how much, even doesn't go in 100,000 on the conscious statement. But one of I was unemployed, I was able to build a house. Right. But then things started to dry up. Couldn't get a job. Right? And then that's now what initiated the whole thing. I'm so worried that because that poor child, KK, right?
Yeah.
My child, I'm just one of the doctors which my friend said to me, will she help your child? I said, definitely, I'd like to help, but there's no communication between me and her. Because the mom has created that to say, you know, the father
that
is
distance.
You know, I mean, now my daughter Kiki is trying to get back to me. I'm trying to reach out to her and help her.
Yeah.
You know, I even need today, Dr. Cindy, I'm still dying to talk to my child and say, you know, my child, you know the history of everything like that. It's unfortunate that you get created. And the worst thing, like when you start bringing in all the churches, the church in the whole family,
yeah,
it's a nightmare. And start seeking the money, right? And then they start listing the other party as if not a good person. It's a nightmare.
It is a nightmare, Babuzi. And I think you've highlighted what most of us know, that, you know, financial problems are the leading cause of divorces, divorce in most marriages. Once there's a money issue, the relationship untangles.
Yes, she even asked me, where to get the money to build that double story? Because you're unemployed. Are you having someone paying for you? Like, are you having an affair? I said, what affair is you talking about? Right? Because when I was working, I saved money. Yeah. Right? That's why now I was able to build the house. Even halfway along the line, then I had to borrow some money just to keep on going and building. I'm telling you, you know, in a nutshell, it's just unfortunate that a man, once he loses his job, it becomes a useless thing on this
earth.
It hurts. I'm telling you, as I'm saying, I wouldn't have known that I was useless until I lost my job.
And the thing is, those words are so hurtful. They stick in your heart. They ring in your head over and over again.
Absolutely. You know what? Do you even take food in the household? She'll buy food and those things. They'll take the food and go and cook with KK and my other girl, right, and the son. They'll go and cook there, eat there, and do everything there.
Yeah. Okay, no, but thank you so much, Babufusi. I mean, I really hope that you're getting help. I hope that, you know, you're able to get help, just counseling through what you're going through. I think it's important for you to get counseling. You know, as you map your way forward, you know, for the rest of your life. But thank you so much for phoning and sharing that with us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. I'm chatting to Faith Mnyameni, a private social worker from Midrand, and we're speaking about unemployment and the impact it has on your relationships and intimacy. We had a very harrowing call from Babuvusi telling us about what he's going through after losing his job. We're taking calls on 086-000-959, hashtag on social media, Sidebar Cindy, and the other hashtag is KFM Talk. We have the lady on the line, and she's calling us from Johannesburg. Good evening, and welcome to the show.
Hello, you with me?
Yes, yes, we can hear you, ma'am.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm very appreciative of you taking my call. I've decided to call myself anonymous because that's I know Faith extremely well, so I'd rather prefer to be anonymous.
Great, that's fine.
I just need to share my side of the story. Not every woman who has an unemployed man with a boyfriend or husband or would treat them as useless and everything. For me, it's the same as you are married to a man that is abusing you and you're still staying there. And people would ask you outside, what are you doing there? Why are you still there? Why do you choose to be abused? It's exactly the same as this husband or this boyfriend or this father of my child or my children is unemployed and has been a provider or has been providing. But now that they're unemployed, now I start calling them names. You find people that still get stuck to the person. But here's the story that I want to share. I'm a married woman.
Yes.
And have had my ups and my downs and have committed to my marriage because I come from a divorced family. So when I got married, I knew that I don't want to divorce.
Yeah.
I had my reasons, but I don't want to divorce. And for better or for worse, I got stuck. Sometimes you feel the worst is like you committing suicide, but you still get stuck. So you get stuck to a husband who loses his job several times. But when he gets something, when he learns something, he takes it. He runs away to whatever it is, God knows what he does. And when he loses the job again, he comes back to you. It's like he loves you when he hasn't got money.
Mm.
When he's got money, he loves other things or other people or whatever it is. And you still get stuck there. So I'm wanting to resonate with the gentleman that spoke just before me, just before you took the break, who said, you know, I got called any other thing and every other thing, and I ended up in a divorce. It's not every woman who belittle you if you are not employed. Because if you get married with a certain tone, you get to understand that for better or for worse means many things. There's no prescription, but it means a hell of a lot of things. And one of the things is he could lose his eyesight. I could be barren.
Yeah.
Or many other things that can happen in our marriage. But for better or for worse means, let's pull together no matter what.
Mm.
But you find somebody who still stands by your side. But when you've got the money, you don't love them. When you've got the money, you don't love them. When you don't have the money, they are your wife.
Yeah, no, thank you so much, the lady, for those comments.
Mm.
And I'll ask Faith to respond, but we'll let you go. But thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anonymous. And I do think what you're touching on is essentially the issue of values. Values are very important in keeping our society together. In fact, in keeping a lot of relationships together. If you look at the most or longest relationships, even you know, in older days, if you look at, you know, that granny and that grandpa, how what made them stay, love would come and go, money would come and go. But if you look at what would keep them together, it's exactly what Anonymous caller has mentioned. The issue of values, and perhaps for her, she really treasures, you know, her vows. She treasures what she said. In principle, for her, being married meant more than just having a husband, perhaps who would provide for her. But it's the issue of values, and that is what is important. And that's why we always encourage often relationship counseling. We encourage premarital counseling for such reasons, because one of the things that I pick up also in my therapy sessions is the fact that we seem to not understand what we value. Someone will say, I got this guy, he was a good guy, he was employed and so forth. Oh, you know, I liked her and so forth and so on. But what are the values? And I always find couples getting stuck on that question. What do you value? And what does he value? And often you find that's where a lot of couples sort of get stuck. And values are that critical to a point that they can actually cause divorce. They can cause separation. Anonymous has made a very practical example of how important it is to stick to your values irrespective of the situation. And I get a sense also, Katlego mentioned that earlier, to say what he has learned from his journey is not to lose yourself in the process.
Mm.
Biggest mistake that sometimes people do. Anonymous caller probably couldn't did not allow herself to get lost in the process. So I get a sense you found a way to love herself and still work on her self-esteem and still be confident and still trust herself to be woman enough. Because to some women, when a husband does that, you start questioning, am I good enough? Do I mean anything to this person? But I get a sense that for her, she still continued working on herself. And I get a sense also for Katlego, the fact that he continues going for counseling. He does have support from his sisters. We've also heard a lot from those on Twitter to say support, support, support plays a huge role. So it's very important to know what is your resource list, who are your support system whenever you go through this kind of situations. You know, you can even call Lifeline, you can call other free services telephonically for counseling. You don't have to go for private counseling if you cannot afford, but it's very important to look at what resources do you have. Very, very important.
No, thank you for that, Faith. Okay, yeah. So take me more calls on 086-00-00 on Sidebar. 00-00959. 086-00-00959 on Sidebar Cindy. I can't believe I forgot the number. That doesn't happen. It's I'm staring at you, Faith.
I think so.
I'm staring at your pretty face. Isaac, we have Isaac on the line. Isaac, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Cindy. How are you?
Good, thanks. And thank you for agreeing to share your story with us.
Absolutely. Faith, thank you. It's an honor. It's such a very in-depth conversation.
Thank you. Thank you, Isaac.
I would just like to just talk about a few things. Just listening to all the callers, you know, I'm someone that likes to go into the root of a word and in the root of anything to just get better understanding. So when you look at like employment, which comes from a Latin word, which means to involve in a particular purpose. See, a lot of people in relationships lost the purpose of themselves. And when you're working, it's your nature to naturally to be either a provider, nurturer, or comforter, you know what I mean? And whether it's a male or female, or female, or whatever your sexual persuasion, it's natural for you to have that innate nature to be a provider and also someone on the opposite end to be a nurturer. So when that gets taken away from you, you now lose a purpose and understanding of your life and who you are. So one of the things is society has attached education with employment. So when, you know, the Latin word for education means to draw out, to bring out. And to bring out is what the purpose of education is, to bring out who you are, what your purpose in life for. Educe. So if you can't bring out the natural gifts that you have within yourself, and it goes into the topic that you mentioned about creating a job, self-employed, being self-employed, then now you become subject to now working for someone else where someone can take away your purpose in life. And that's caused so much stress for people, whether male or female. And love has three basic attributes, which is freedom, justice, and equality. Freedom to be who you were created to be, which is someone to be a nurturer or provider. And justice is the justification of your being and your life, or the reality of your life. And equality is not necessarily to be equal, but whatever I ask of you, I'm going to also do the same for myself, yo. So when all that gets taken away from you, it creates so much stress and it causes a lot of problems.
And relationships really do suffer, you know, when there's financial strain. I think the responses on Twitter, the calls that we're fielding, it just shows just what an impact it has, financial strain has on relationships, Isaac. It really does.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but thank you so much. Yeah, no, thanks so much for your inputs. And we're taking more calls on 086-00-00959. We have Ronald on the line, and he's calling us from Joburg. Good evening, Ronald, and welcome to Sidebar Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. My name is Devon.
Okay, we missed that. We missed that first part, Isaac. But not Isaac. We're not Ronald.
Ronald.
Hi, Cindy.
Yes. Okay. Now I can hear you properly.
I had divorced because my mother-in-law never believed in me. Yeah, when you marry into a family of people that don't believe in you, and unfortunately, she didn't know that I earned more than double what my wife earned. Guess what? My wife was not able to tell a mother the real truth about our relationship. Secondly, we had two children. And then in June itself, we lost we had to divorce. Three properties gone. Three cars gone. And then I spent about 5-6 years paying for the car. Gone. And then now she's diabetic. She can't do what she used to do. Now I must pay for the maintenance. It's unfair. So for the next 10 years, from 2012 until whatever the case, I've paid for the car, I've paid for the property. Now I must pay higher maintenance because she can't work for herself. And think about it. My entire life now is on hold. For what? Because she could not tell her mother the truth. So sometimes when people, black people, what I understand is that they can't tell the real family why are they getting married and what marriage does mean. My wife never disclosed to her family why are we sharing whatever we need to share. What are the properties? And I was paying for the majority of the properties. I was actually paying for about 80%. So it's sad. So I've just lost 10 years of my life. Yeah. Paying for stuff that I will never own. I'm just actually paying for the bank.
Sure.
Sad.
It is sad. And I think you're doing it. You're protecting her. And that's your decision. You've chosen to not expose her.
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm telling you, when we went to this family, I paid Lovola. The only mistake that I did at the time when we get married, I refused to do what we did. And that was the cardinal sin I committed.
Yeah.
That was the cardinal sin. And yeah, that's the way the cookie has crumbled.
Yeah, well, I hope Ronald that you can find a way forward, and
yes,
hope and hopefully you'll be able to move forward without having to carry this burden.
To be frank and honest with you, Sandy, it's just 10-15 wasted years, and there's nothing can do about it.
Yeah, but thank you so much for sharing that with us.
No, it's fine. Thank you so much.
Great. So we've come to the end of the show. Just 2 minutes of the show left before Thulima Gobane comes on at 8 with My Money and Me. Faith, thank you so much for being on the show. I think you shared great insights.
Mm-hmm.
If people are looking for you, where can they find you online, and where can they find you, work-wise?
Yes, sure. I mean, I saw that you guys actually were laughing at me that I'm not on Twitter and Facebook.
No, well, I wasn't laughing. I was just surprised.
Sure. Actually, you can find me at my offices. I'm based in Midrand in the Willows Office Park, Erand Gardens. That's number 9 Road, George Road, in Midrand. You can call me on 011-655-7229, 011-655-7229. During working hours, I am open in my practice Mondays to Friday, 8 to 5, and also on some Saturdays in the month. Thank you very much, Dr. Cindy. It was such a pleasure being with you.
Great having you.
Sidebar with Cindy.
Every Monday to Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind.